from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. I am your host, Jake Skorheim. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We've got a great show tonight. I hope you guys are ready to have some fun. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
I'm with it. I'm hip.
All right, we got a great show. There's a lot of stuff we want to talk about. First, I want to tell you this story. I'm just going to jump right into it. Now, some nights I have some stories to share from you from my personal life. But right now, my personal life and our first news story, they intersect. It is a perfect combination. So I'm just going to get right into it. Governor Jay Inslee is being critical right now. I don't know if you guys have heard this audio. It's pretty great. Or heard the story, and it's kind of funny. If you want to, you can check it out on MyNorthwest.com. Jason Rance has a great piece about it there. MyNorthwest.com. That's our website. Governor Jay Inslee has been critical of Attorney General Bob Ferguson's new position on how to fix the Washington State ferry system. Now, Bob Ferguson, Attorney General, is running for Jay Inslee's job, which Jay Inslee is about to leave because he's not going to run for governor again. He's been governor plenty long enough. Let's get some new blood in there. So Bob Ferguson was recently talking about what to do with Washington State's very, very broken state ferry system. And if you guys have ever listened to this show before, or if you have just ridden on the Washington State ferry system before on your own, you know absolutely, for a matter of fact, that is a broken system, like a very, very broken system. Unfortunately, this is something that I have to ride all of the time because my in-laws live out there. They live out near Port Townsend. And so anytime we want to visit them, because we live in Snohomish County, we have to drive over to Edmonds. We have to sit in the Edmonds ferry line, and we have to wait until we can make our way over to Kingston. The other option for us is to drive south, down past Tacoma, over the bridge, and up the other side, which takes forever. I mean, it's like, you know, with no traffic on a nice weekend where we can just absolutely plan on just driving straight through, 65, 70 the whole way, it takes us 3 hours and change. But you're also sitting in the car with, I'm sitting in the car with my three sons who are young and for 3 hours plus. That's no fun. So we try to take the ferry whenever we can, because the idea is that you can get out on the ferry boat, you can climb upstairs, you can walk around, you can go on the top deck, you can maybe get a snack, or if you want to save a little money, you can pack a sandwich and eat it on the ferry. But there's things to do, right? You can see it with your kids and it's fun and they like that experience. I have been riding the ferries since I have any thoughts. We rode the Washington State ferries all the time. Anytime somebody would come in from out of town, one of the tourist destinations that we would take would be on the ferries, and they were super great and super fun. But now the system is old. The ferry boats are getting run down. Some of them have been in operation for 60 years, and they're trying to figure out how to replace them. One of the leading ways that they were trying to replace them, according to Jay Inslee, the thing that he wants is he wants a EV ferry system. He wants a electric ferry boat system. Bob Ferguson, who is hoping to succeed Jay Inslee, apparently is not closed off to a more traditional ferry system, which would include diesel-powered boats. He was recently asked about this, and he was recently saying that, yeah, part of his plan would be, because the Washington State ferry system is so dramatically affected right now by downed boats and by runs having to be canceled, which means that people like myself and my wife and my three soon-to-be-four sons have to sit and wait in traffic for hours and hours on end when we shouldn't have to be sitting and waiting in traffic. One of the ways that has been suggested to fix that problem is to buy additional boats. Genius, right? Buy additional boats, increase the supply, and deal with the demand. That's what they're suggesting that they do. And so Bob Ferguson was saying, listen, I understand about the environment and all that, but maybe we need to just bite the bullet and buy some diesel-powered boats to help cover the gap, because the boats that are planned on being built right now are not going to be ready until 2028, and that's a long time for drivers to wait. Especially in an election year, that's a long time for drivers to wait, because if they have somebody else who's willing to tell them, hey, you know what, I'm willing to buy a boat from somewhere else, and it can be diesel-powered, we just want to get you out of that long ferry line, That's a pretty compelling argument for somebody to vote for. Certainly somebody that I would vote for. If they just said, hey, guys, I don't want to mess with your taxes. I want you to not have to pay as much taxes as you're paying. And I want to make it easier for you to do the things that you used to be able to do easily, because we've just made it hard in this state. And one of those things that you can do easier is not have to wait in line for 5 hours for a ferry boat, because we're going to do a better job about making sure that we have enough boats that are supposed to be on the runs. We're going to make sure that we have enough staff so we don't have staffing shortages, which is another reason some of these boats just don't run. They just have staffing issues. We're going to fix all these problems for you so we don't get in your way. Like, I can't just drive my car across the water. I need those ferry boats. I want those ferry boats. Give me those ferry boats. That's how I'm feeling. Like, literally, if a gubernatorial candidate just got up in front of the mic and said, I'm going to get you some more ferry boats, and then dropped the mic, I would say, yeah, this is a person worth considering, for sure. So anyway, Ferguson said that he is considering some diesel power boats as a way to, like, you know, fix this stopgap. And Governor Jay Inslee was speaking yesterday, and he said, oh, man, that's a brain dead idea.
And to anyone with a pad, a notepad, and a pencil right now, I hope they'll pay attention to what I'm just going to say. There are those who want to abandon this electrification of our ferry fleet, and they are wrong. Some of these folks want to just swap back to old diesel technology, the last century technology. We are not going backwards. I'll tell you why. Number one, it's dirty, and it's a nasty old technology. But second, I want to make this really clear. If we abandon this effort to elect...
I got to pause it there really fast, because I actually have been reading this book. I hadn't heard this clip yet, but so I'm responding to this in time with you guys. I'm reading this book right now, or I'm just about finished with it. It's called The Mysterious Case of Rudolf Diesel. Rudolf Diesel was the inventor of, want to take a guess, the diesel engine. And Governor Jay Inslee, they're calling it a dirty old technology. I don't think that that's true. He says it's a nasty, dirty old technology. Listen, diesel has a lot of amazing benefits. There's a reason why almost 100% of all the boats that you've ever been on in your life that are like commercial boats use diesel technology. I doubt he's looked into it much, if I'm being completely honest. I would highly recommend that he read this book, The Mysterious Case of Rudolf Diesel, and read about what diesel was trying to accomplish when he invented this amazing engine, the diesel engine. It's really fascinating. He should take a look.
And want to go back to try to buy, to build diesel boats. It will delay, repeat, it will delay our ability to get boats on the water by at least a year, because we'd have to start the whole process over again. It would be a brain dead thing to delay us getting more ferry boats at the same time we stop using a new technology that is ready for prime time. So that is my second announcement. On Earth Day, we are sticking with electric boats, and we are not going to let a delay people getting more boats cruising in the state of Washington. Third thing I want to say.
I have another thing to say about this. I understand he wants to, you know, climate, and that's going to be the thing that he wants people to remember him about. And we'll talk about Inslee's legacy in just a second. You know, originally, they couldn't even bid on who would build these boats unless the boat builders were in Washington state, which they then eventually said, all right, we can't find anybody in the state who can build these boats quick enough. We're going to expand our search, and now you can look out of state. I would say expand it even further. I would say, hey, you know what? Anywhere in the world that they can build the technology in the boat that you're looking for, why don't we get it in here as quick as possible? Because I do not need them to build the boats locally. I would rather them have boats here so I don't have to sit in 3 hours of traffic every single weekend then I'm trying to get on one of these boats. It has made it so difficult for me to travel to see my in-laws that now we kind of don't get to see them half as much as we'd want to see them. We can't afford the time. And who wants to sit in the car for 3 hours with my kids? I don't. Absolutely don't. All right. The other thing that I want to mention here really fast, it seems you could hear there's like a tinge of anger in his voice there when he's talking about not going back on this thing. What Governor Jay Inslee is pushing for is a diesel plus battery combination. And he thinks that's the way of the future. Anything short of this hybrid technology, he's just saying no to. He's just saying, no, it's brain dead. We don't want it. What he's shooting for right now is to get these new boats launched by 2028, which is, last time I did the math, still 4 years away. best case scenario. No good. I don't like it. But I understand, he's the guy that people in Washington that we elected to be the governor, they made these choices, and now we have to live with those choices that we made. I mean, like, you know, we elected him. This is what he decided to do. We now have to live with this four-year wait. That's fine. The problem that I have is his inability to consider other options. We're in kind of a dramatic situation right now with the Washington State Ferry System. We need more boats. They are typically operating at just 2/3 capacity. We're supposed to have something like 21, 22 boats, depending on what's working. Right now, they're operating commonly at 13 or 14 boats, which is not enough to get the people, to move the people of Washington around this state highway system that is these waterways. We need these boats. So Jay Inslee's inability to consider other alternatives, even ones that he doesn't like, I think is a real problem. And I think he's focusing too much on his legacy here in Washington State. And the thing that I don't like is politicians who think about their legacy over thinking about what we need as Washingtonians. Because what that says to me is that it's about ego. It also implies kind of an ownership over our state. Like Jay Inslee is the lord of our state, and anything he says is going to go. We hired him. We hired him to do the job. And if we don't like the way that he's doing it, then we need to get somebody else in there who's going to do the job that we need done, which is to get more boats on the water so that I don't have to sit in traffic for 3 hours with my kids. Are you listening to me, Jay Inslee? Somebody fix this problem fast. All right. I want to talk about this really quick too. TikTok. Do you guys see this news about TikTok? TikTok apparently, President Joe Biden just signed into law on Wednesday legislation that would do a few things. It provides billions of dollars in aid to several countries and like Ukraine and Israel, and it forces TikTok to divest from its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. Or if it doesn't do that in a certain amount of time, then it would be it could be banned in the United States. CNBC was talking about this. Here's some of the details.
The Senate overwhelmingly passed that ban on TikTok last night. It's part of a larger package that included the $95 billion in foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific region, plus other national security measures. Senator Mark Warner said the concerns around a TikTok are both that ByteDance could give data on Americans to the Chinese government and control what content users do and don't see.
The truth is, these Chinese companies, at the end of the day, they don't owe their obligation to their customers or their shareholders, but they owe it to the PRC government.
Of course, the clock is ticking for TikTok to make a sale.
This is interesting, the security of TikTok and what it means. Ahead of this vote in the House, which again had passed, and now Biden has signed this thing into law, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, he was talking, and he said that TikTok, the parent company, ByteDance, this is a quote from Christopher Wray, the FBI director. He says, it's beholden to the Chinese government, which is attempting to steal our AI and hack American technology every day. Americans must think of TikTok's power, access, capability, control as being in the hands of the Chinese government and intelligence service, Wray said. Under the bill, ByteDance would have to sell the app or be excluded from Apple and Google's app stores in the United States. And the issue of security is one that they've been talking about now for a while, which is Biden signed this bill today. ABC News actually reported last year, think about this, that cybersecurity experts discovered that once you download TikTok, it's an app. For anybody who doesn't know, it's an app where you can post videos of yourself dancing or whatever you want to do, complaining about your job. It's an app that you download and use on your phone. Even once you download the app, even if you never use it, according to ABC News, TikTok is still getting your data and they are then using that data. They're copying the data. They have your data, even if you've never used the app before, just if you have it on your phone, which is, I don't know, weird, and I don't like it. CNBC says that they think now that this has passed and now that Biden has signed this, that the TikTok will sue to stop this from happening.
TikTok CEO has vowed the company is going to pursue legal action against the measure, and that could give the video app a few more years to figure out a path forward, given that some of the courts do take a while to get everything through. And while some have raised concerns that this new law could violate free speech, several senators I spoke to yesterday told me that they're confident that this bill can withstand a legal challenge, that there is a precedent for limiting foreign influence. Other apps and programs that had ties to Chinese companies have had to be sold or divested before. This includes LGBTQ dating app Grindr and healthcare app called Patients Like Me.
So as soon as Biden signed this bill, the CEO of TikTok went on TikTok, obviously, and he put out a video and he says, don't worry, TikTok users of, like, you know, there's like 170 million of you. Don't worry, TikTok, we're not going anywhere.
Hi, everyone. It's Sho here. As you may have heard, Congress passed a bill that the president signed into law that is designed to ban TikTok in the United States. That will take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connection on our platform. Make no mistake, this is a ban. A ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Many who sponsored the bill admit a TikTok ban is the ultimate goal. It's obviously a...
Well, the ultimate goal is that they divest from their parent company, ByteDance, which has connections to the Chinese government. So if they sell the company, if they're forced to sell this company and they successfully do so, then no, it wouldn't be banned. It wouldn't actually change much in the United States. They could still be used by the 170 million people. So what happens now that this clock has started? A 270-day clock now has kicked into gear. TikTok has that amount of time. ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, has 270 days to try to sell TikTok to presumably somebody in America. If it looks like ByteDance is close to divestment near the end of that 9-month period, President Biden can authorize, or whoever the president is at the time, can authorize an additional 90 days for any deal to be finalized. But who knows how long this kind of stuff takes? I mean, like, if TikTok is successful in suing and it stretches out for an additional many years, then we just might be hearing about this for a long time. If you're worried about TikTok videos of young people complaining about their jobs going away, you don't have to worry that much. They'll be able to do it for years to come.
Why is it that I have to work 40 hours a week just so I can have a place to live?
Oh, poor thing. All right, stick around. We got a lot more coming up on the show.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I have a couple of special guests on with me tonight. There's a topic I wanted to get into. I'm not sure if this is a good idea or if this is a bad idea, but I figured I need some folks to come in here and help me discuss it, and so maybe we can come up with the right answer. I have with me Nate the Great Connors.
Hello.
Joe Wallace,
woo,
the producer of the wonderful John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show, which was on just before ours.
Yes, sir.
And so, guys, welcome to the council.
Thanks for having us.
Join us as we embark on a quest of insight and knowledge. Together, there's a remote chance they'll manage to pull it off. Welcome to the council.
Ooh, I like that.
But you're saying there's a chance.
Feels very, you know, I feel like, you know, with all of our low IQs combined, we make an average size IQ and we can figure out the answer to this question. All right, I have a question to pose to you guys. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but you guys know who Kanye West is, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. In case you don't know, Kanye West is a singer-songwriter.
Ah, old Kanye. Miss that fella.
Man, this was good music, wasn't it?
He used to be so good.
Yeah, his heyday was one of the best.
This whole album, actually, I remember when this, I don't remember the name of this album.
Is that College Dropout?
Might have been College Dropout. I don't know. I felt like maybe it was even a little bit after that.
Yeah.
Just so good. Like all his stuff, right? When he first burst onto the scene,
yep.
Just great.
Had a good run. Now he's just crazy.
Now he's nuts.
Well, it's still real. Well, that's to be debated. I mean,
I think he's literally mentally unstable.
Well, there's a lot of crazy people out there. I can't say whether or not
we're not doctors.
Yeah, I actually am a medical doctor. That's, I don't know if you guys knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just moonlight doing radio in the evenings.
But you would know.
Yeah, so I would know, actually, but neurology is not my study, so okay. I actually don't know specifically.
Fair.
But Kanye West, he's obviously in the news a lot. We see pictures of him and his wife, who they're always walking around fancy places without
naked.
Clothes on.
Yes,
naked. So according to TMZ, and I am just seeing this now, and so I was going to bring this up with you guys. According to TMZ, Kanye West plans to launch his own porn site.
No,
this is going to be the next. So this guy, here's the thing. Like, this guy is an artist, right? Sure. Kanye West is an artist. He's done a lot. Like, we just heard some of the songs there that he,
right.
I mean, just amazing. He climbed to the highest high of pop music and rap.
True.
And then after that, he got into clothing
he
design.
He considers himself a fashion icon.
Well, he had a pretty big fashion house, didn't he?
He did. He had a thing with Adidas, but they had a big falling out. And he markets these like really, I don't know. To me, they seem really ugly. He had the first Yeezy shoes that came out, I think I really liked. And I think a lot of people did as well. But since then, he's just all these bizarre boots and these weird like.
He does wear big like snow boots.
Yeah.
They look like big snow boots.
Yeah, that's his stuff. That's what he's trying to sell these days.
He also, did you guys see some of his fashion shows? Because he would do these really, I don't know anything about fashion, so I feel like three of us talking about fashion is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we can talk about how ridiculous fashion is.
Sure.
It was him, it was his fashion show, and all of his models, which included, I think at the time, of like his wife and his sisters-in-laws, the Kardashians.
Yeah.
They were all dressed up in like nude-colored, like kind of like body suits that were very unattractive.
Agreed.
Like the people that they were on, I imagine in a normal setting could look very good, but the outfits that they were wearing, I didn't find appealing in any way.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
You know which ones
I know
I'm
exactly
talking about.
What you're talking about. Yeah.
It was bizarre.
Super bizarre. And a lot of that high fashion, like Milan fashion show stuff, is bizarre anyway. So it kind of fits with that. But it, I don't, yeah.
That stuff doesn't normally actually sell, does it? Aren't those prototypes? Or?
You know, all I know from fashion is what was described to me in The Devil Wears Prada, where she talks about how some little, you know, sweater from The Gap is actually inspired by like something that happened a year ago.
Right.
In Milan.
Great movie, by the way.
That is a good movie.
It really was.
No, Meryl Streep.
I saw it on an airplane, so it was like my only option, and I'm like, wow, this is actually great.
It's actually a really good movie. Yeah. No, it holds up. Still really good. All right, so Kanye West is launching this is according to TMZ. Who knows if TMZ knows? But apparently, he's going to be launching this new business venture. He says it's all about people having sex on camera, which is, I guess TMZ says it's all about people having sex on camera, which I guess would be the description of porn.
Sure.
He is looking, let's see here, he's looking to work with, apparently he's going to be running this, again, this is all according to TMZ, which is where we get all our news. He's going to be working with a guy whose name is Mike Maz. I'd never heard of this guy, but he is apparently the ex-husband of Stormy Daniels.
Right.
Stormy Daniels is a porn star from back in like the 1950s or something.
the centerpiece of Trump's whole hush money trial.
Yeah, I think she's a great grandmother now. I'm not sure about that, but I don't know how old she is, but she's not a young woman. But she used to be, I think a long time ago, these people were all in porn. And she still could be. People are into a lot
of
stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows? So she still could be. I don't know. But her ex-husband, apparently, according to TMZ, is going to be working with Kanye West to launch this site, and he's going to kind of be shepherding the whole thing. It's going to fall under the umbrella of Kanye West's various business enterprises. Do you guys think that this is a good move for him? Because he has kind of fallen out of favor.
I don't think he can fall much further. So why not? This will probably sell because sex sells.
Listen, everything this guy does makes money.
Yeah. So here's my theory on this. I saw this earlier as well, but he's got some kind of ruse plan. This is like some sort of gotcha thing, because a big part of his kind of shift into, I don't know, undiagnosed mental instability. He has also come around and he started doing these church services every Sunday. I think he's since stopped, but he's like, he got really into God. And he also at that point, like, denounced porn. And he talked about how Kim Kardashian having done, like, you know, become famous for a porn video was going to ruin their children that they have together's lives.
Yeah.
He has been hyper vocal against pornography. So that's why this is so confusing, because that's not very long ago. Like,
it's odd though, because he now is married to another woman
who basically walks around.
It's almost like in every picture that I see of the two of them, they're always somewhere phenomenal. They're in Italy somewhere, or they're in France or wherever they're at. And they're walking through the public. He's wearing like snow boots or whatever
garbage
he's wearing.
Bag.
And like a garbage bag, which I'm sure is like Balenciaga and really expensive.
Right,
and she's wearing essentially nothing.
Like a see-through something.
Yeah, see-through something.
Two pieces of tape.
Yeah, like literally, like she's almost wearing nothing. So I feel like maybe if he was a staunch anti-porn person, maybe he's
Maybe that shit did, but it's not even like granted, like, yes, his wife walks around and you can see basically everything. He still maintained that stance for whatever reason, and where, like, he, where his values truly fall, who knows? But just that, because of that, and having those comments come so recently, I feel like there's some bait and switch thing going on here where he's going to redefine the word porn or something. Like, he's going to do something that's not, I definitely don't think it's going to just be like a website just plain, with actual pornography. Like, there's a gimmick here that you know, and that's kind of Kanye's thing recently, his gimmick. So what that is, I have no idea, but I don't think it's what we would expect when you hear somebody say, oh, I'm going to start making porn.
The only thing that makes me think that it could be just garden variety porn is the fact that he's teaming up, according to TMZ again, he's teaming up with a well-known porn producer of traditional. I was, that sounds
oh, is that, so is that what he did?
According to TMZ, he's teaming up with this guy who has spent his career producing, directing, filming, all these, they're working in the porn industry, set lighting, lighting is everything. So
maybe it is right on the nose, but yeah, I would be surprised, but you know, at the same time, anything Kanye does or Ye or whatever he goes by now, it's
not surprising.
Yeah, it's not, I won't be surprised. Yeah.
Well, if you recall, when he first started becoming popular, famous way back when, he admitted to being a porn addict.
Yeah, he did. That was another part of his thing, too.
Right. Not that people can't change, but I mean, we can't forget that aspect.
I had forgotten that. Did he talk about that?
He was addicted to porn, very openly, a porn addict.
Yeah. Well, and part of his like recent like denunciations of porn has been because he considers it to be like something that's so addictive. Before I forget, there is a really, really great documentary on Kanye West. I wish I could think of the name of it. It might be HBO. It's like a 2-part series. No matter what you think of him, and in fact, it kind of paints him like it in a bad light towards the end. And it's one of his friends that made this, but one of his close friends has been with him since they were teenagers.
I saw this.
Yeah, he's
been documenting him on camera because his friend, even when they were young, was like, someday this will be important.
Exactly.
And this guy spent like the last 20 years at his own expense.
Right.
At a certain point, probably he got some money from Kanye, but I don't know that.
They had a falling out,
followed him around with a camera and literally VHS tapes, like documenting his rise because he's like, this guy has something that people are going to respond to.
It's a really, really, really good documentary. And I got my own opinions on him, but regardless of your opinions, it's a great documentary.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah, people should check it out. All right, well, this has been the council. I don't know if we got to the bottom of anything. I think we've all agreed.
To sum it up, Kanye's weird, right? And to the point of mental instability,
and he might
allegedly.
And he might get into porn.
From a doctor's point of view, what do you say?
Well, from a doctor's point of view, I would say that he's... This is not surprising, I would say. From a doctor's point of view, I'd say this is not surprising.
Okay, very good.
I would also agree with him, though, like really quick. I would agree with him that I think porn is a very addictive, bad thing. There's been a ton of studies on it. So if he was talking about that early in his career, I didn't know that, but if he was talking about having these addictions and now later in his life, I think it would be really sad if he like fell off the wagon and got back into it. But I don't know. This guy's done a lot of stuff.
He has.
So we shall see.
I can't wait for his first movie.
Yeah, there you go. I will not be watching it.
I'll be down there.
That's Nate Connors and Joe Wallace. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Kyber Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. I'm Jake Skorheim. Thank you guys so much. Good first hour. A lot of fun. Thanks again to Joe and to Nate for joining us last segment. That's a lot of fun. All right, I want to play you some audio really fast that I got. I just got a chuckle out of it. And when I get a chuckle out of something, I want you to get a chuckle out of something. I don't know why. It's just said that. There's something about saying get a chuckle out of something. Sounds weird. Joe Biden was speaking in front of a group. I don't know where this campaign stopped somewhere. I could get more specific, but it doesn't really matter. He was in front of an audience, and he is speaking. And as he is wont to do, he had a teleprompter. And so the teleprompter's running. He reaches a point in his speech where he's saying, you know, it's supposed to be the end of the speech where everybody starts getting excited. The problem was that when you put a teleprompter in front of Joe Biden's face, like a lot of good folks out there, when you become too reliant on a technology that makes things easier, like in the old days when they were giving speeches, or even right now, I am talking to you extemporaneously. I'm not reading from a script. This is not scripted. All I know is here's the story I have in front of me. Now I'm going to convey it to you guys in the most entertaining way possible. Joe Biden does something different. And you know, obviously his audience is a lot bigger. Not for long. Just kidding. His audience is a lot bigger. And so he wants to make sure that everything he says is very, very carefully planned out. And so what they do, they type it out in a speech. They then put these speeches onto a clear teleprompter. You've seen what a teleprompter looks like, so that only the speaker, it's only visible to the speaker because of the angle that it's at. The audience can't see that it's just a bunch of words coming up and he's just reading these words, because it really like kind of takes away from the passionate speech when you see that somebody's just reading what somebody else wrote. But this is not new to Joe Biden. This is what every single president does, maybe with the exception of Donald Trump, who talks a lot and probably shouldn't talk as much. But Joe Biden was in front of a teleprompter the other day. He said this towards the end of his speech. This was pretty funny.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
Did you catch that? Four more years. Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause. And he read what I'm pretty sure was his stage direction, which was to pause and let those four more years sink in so that people in the audience could appropriately start shouting four more years. But no, he said the pause part.
Four more years. Pause.
Pause, which of course reminded me of this.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
Burgundy will read. Now it's the case with Joe Biden as well. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. The news roundup's coming up next. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.